You. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. In April this year, we had the joy of the canonization of St. John Paul II. St. John Paul was known and wanted to be known for his love of the Blessed Virgin Mary. He said publicly that his favorite prayer was the Rosary, which he would pray continuously throughout the day in between appointments and more formally when he would walk and get some exercise. He took his papal motto, "Totus Tuus, all yours," from a formula of total consecration to Mary, meaning that he was all Mary's, that all he had was hers, and that he received her totally into his life, just like St. John did at the foot of the cross, and begged her to receive him and give him her heart, so that he would be able to love Jesus with a heart like hers. But he had said that when he was in college, he'd begun to wonder whether Marian piety could be excessive, whether many of his fellow Poles were so devoted to Mary that it could compromise their relationship with God. But he soon saw, with the help of St. Louis Marie de Montfort, one of the greatest writers on Marian church history, that Mary always leads us to Jesus, provided, and this is a very important connection for us to grasp in our Catholic faith, provided that we live Mary's mystery in Christ. Our focus on Mary is always meant to help us to enter into her relationship with Jesus, to relive the mystery of her life in Christ, her Son, and her Savior. Each year on this fourth Sunday of Advent, the Church has us concentrate on Mary, precisely so that we can learn from her how to prepare for and live the mystery of the birth of the Son of God, Christ, her Son. Today we focus on what she teaches us in the mystery of the virginal conception of Jesus at the Annunciation. Next year, we'll focus on the mystery of the Visitation, as she with fervent faith and charity takes the newly conceived Jesus on mission to sanctify John the Baptist in the womb and make him leap for joy. Last year, we concentrated on St. Matthew's account of the mystery of Jesus' birth. What unites all 3 years is that the church on the fourth Sunday of Advent wants us to focus on Mary's living these mysteries so that we might imitate what these mysteries contain. This need for us to take on this Marian perspective becomes more acute each year. I think Mary would consider much of what we do to get ready for Christmas quite silly. Booking around from one store to another, waiting in interminable lines, burying ourselves in wrapping paper and cards, all the while risking losing the essential reason for the season. So many of us spend Advent more in the mall than we do in prayer. We shop and we go to parties and run back and forth to the post office. And before we know it, it's time for us to get ready and dressed for Christmas Mass. Mary wants to help us to leave so much of this hustle, bustle, push and muscle, rushing to and fro behind, to focus on our spiritual preparation for the birth of her Son in us. We're also, and we have to note it, living in a culture that no longer supports Christmas the way it once did, out of a warped political correctness coming from secularist trends and a lack of courage on the part of Catholics to challenge that culture. We often no longer even hear the saving name of Jesus mentioned much, as if Jesus' name and the expression Merry Christmas are vulgarities not to be mentioned in polite company. It's becoming rarer to hear Jesus' name mentioned even on radio stations that advertise that they're playing Christmas music, where they instead focus on jingling bells, reindeers, Santa Claus is coming to town, snowmen with corncob pipes, and whether there'll be a white Christmas. Television programs and newspapers generally cover Christmas in two ways, obsessing first about how much shopping's being done and whether department stores will finish in the black, and second, about those who generously give to support the needy. The latter focus is obviously a good one, but we have to admit that it misses the main point. Christmas is not principally about anonymous people paying off strangers' layaway bills at Kmart, but about God's unbelievable charity and love toward us. We need help to focus on what's most important. And the church gives us Mary precisely for that help. For us to be ready for Christmas, we need to learn from her how to live her mystery in Christ. And let's see what she teaches us in this scene of the Annunciation before us. First thing Mary wants us to relive is her becoming a fitting tabernacle for God. Today's first reading, King David wanted to build a house for the Ark of the Covenant, for God's presence. But God sent the prophet Nathan to tell him, rather, that instead of allowing David to build a house for God, God wanted to build a house for David and to establish a kingdom and a throne that would last forever. We know that that promise was fulfilled in David's descendant according to the flesh, Jesus, who came 1,000 years later. And when the Son of God took our flesh and dwelled among us, he took up his first abode, his first tabernacle, in Mary's womb, living there for the first 9 months of his human life. In our life, we can sometimes be so focused on our doing something for God that we can miss the point that God wants to do something for us. He wants to make us a temple where Jesus Christ can come to dwell in us in a similar way to how he dwelled in Mary. But like David and like Mary, we need to cooperate with that desire of God to act in us. Mary helps us to get ready to become a tabernacle, to become an ark of the new and eternal covenant, to become a manger, to become, in a sense, Jesus' swaddling clothes, enwrapping him with our flesh as he gives us himself. That's the first lesson Mary teaches, that we need to let God do his work in us. The second thing Mary helps us to relive is the interior preparation we need to make to receive Jesus within. We know how God the Father marked the first advent in her. Her Immaculate Conception, as we celebrated a couple weeks ago, was the preparation for holiness to receive God Himself within. The Archangel Gabriel refers to Mary today as having been filled with grace. She was filled with the presence of God within. And that holy presence would reach its culmination when God would take on her own humanity. Before she could receive Jesus within her, she needed to be free from sin. And God preserved her from the first moment of her life. Unlike her, we were not conceived immaculately. But God has given us the sacraments of baptism and confession so that we too can be interiorly cleansed by God and become a fitting abode to receive Jesus full of grace. In this, Mary continues the work John the Baptist has been trying to do over the course of these last 2 weeks of Advent, to help us to make straight the paths, to clean out all that debris, to lower the mountains of our pride, fill up the valley of our shallow spiritual minimalism, to give us an interior cleansing and holiness so that we can really embrace the Lord as He deserves to be embraced. The third thing Mary wants to help us to relive is her prayer. Mary's expectant prayer was the prayer of the Jewish people awaiting the Messiah. The Archangel Gabriel said to her, "The Lord is with you," because she sought to be with the Lord. She longed for Him and filled her day with prayer. In so many of the beautiful depictions of the Annunciation throughout the centuries, like the one in the bulletin this week, which is taken from our Annunciation banner in Our Lady's Chapel, Mary is depicted as kneeling in prayer when the Archangel Gabriel appeared. She wasn't watching the Patriots game. She wasn't going through the ancient Jewish versions of Cosmopolitan magazine. She was praying. Likewise, if we're going to relive her mystery in Christ, we need to learn from her how to long to pray. We're never going to relive her mystery unless we carve out time to ponder all God has done, is doing, and wants to continue to do in us and in others. Today we can focus on two prayers in particular that help us to relive this gospel mystery today. The first is the prayer of the Holy Rosary, in which we enter into Mary's school and contemplate all the mysteries of her Son's life from within her contemplative heart. Every time we pray the Rosary, we repeat not once, not twice, not three times, but 53 times today's Gospel. 53 times in the span of 10 or 15 minutes, we make our own the words God placed in the Archangel Gabriel's mouth. "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." We make our own the words of the Holy Spirit inspired Saint Elizabeth to say when Mary brought Jesus to her and to Zechariah and to John the Baptist. That's what the Rosary is. For us to relive this Advent mystery, one of the greatest ways is to enter into the mysteries of the Rosary. The other prayer I recommend is the prayer of the Angelus, which the Church prays three times a day, at the beginning of the day. Traditionally, it's 6 a.m. in most cultures. At the middle of the day, noon, almost everywhere. And at the end of the day, again, 6 p.m. in most places. Three times a day, we ponder the dialogue that occurs in today's Gospel. "The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived by the Holy Spirit." And then we ponder this angelic salutation of the Hail Mary. "Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word." Then another Hail Mary. And then the words we'll hear on Christmas Day. "The Word was made flesh and dwelled among us." And then we finish with a prayer. A prayer that those who pray the Angelus regularly will recognize from the opening prayer of today's Mass. The Church puts it right on our lips. The last big Sunday Mass we have before Christmas. Pour forth, we beseech you, O Lord, your grace into our hearts. Fill us with grace, so that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ your Son was made known by the message of an angel, may, by his passion and his cross, be brought to the glory of the resurrection. The Angelus makes this Advent come alive because it has us ponder the grace that God wants to pour inside us, just like he poured inside Mary, to focus on God's announcement, his proclamation, on our response. Let it be done to me according to your word. And on the most important reality in the history of the world, that God took on our flesh and dwelled among us. If we're going to relive Mary's mystery in Christ, we need to relive it praying. But the prayer of the Rosary and the prayer of the Angelus are two great ways to help us to do just that. The fourth thing Mary wants us to relive is her sense of amazement at the mysteries God wants to accomplish within us. As pure as she was, as much as she prayed, as fitting a tabernacle as God had made her, little could she ever have imagined that first the long-awaited Messiah would be God the Son, and that God the Son would become her Son according to the flesh. The Word of God became flesh and dwelled within her as he dwelled among us. She became for 9 months the living temple of God, much more precious even than the temple that David wanted to build for God in today's first reading. Mary, therefore, can help us rekindle the wonder of our minds and hearts at the mystery of his incarnation, not merely 2,000 years ago, but every day in the Holy Eucharist, in us, when we worthily receive Jesus, which is the greatest privilege of the world. Today, one of our own, Shelby McCarthy, is going to have the awesome, wondrous privilege of receiving Jesus within for the first time. We can all think back to the first time we received Jesus in Holy Communion, about the preparation we did on the inside, about our excitement. That preparation's never to go stale. There's a prayer that priests pray before Mass. It's in the daily Mass sacristy in the back. O priest of God, celebrate this Mass as if it were your first Mass, as if it were your last Mass, as if it were your only Mass. If this were the only Mass we'd ever attend, how well we would want it celebrated. But so often we can become so routinized that we just get it through and on to the next one. That prayer that the priests say for Mass, every faithful Catholic should adapt and make his or her own. O Catholic, receive Jesus today with the love with which you received him the first time, with the love with which you want to receive him the last time on your deathbed as you prepare to be embraced by him, with the love with which you'd want to receive him if you'd only have a chance to receive him once in life. Sometimes we lose the wonder of it all because Jesus has made himself so available. Today, Shelby's first Holy Communion is a reminder for all of us of the type of wonder we're supposed to have. She's not the only one who's supposed to marvel at the gift of God today. Mary wants to help all of us to do just that. For those of us who have lost our wonder because the practice of the faith has become routine, Mary teaches us how to rediscover that amazement as we approach receiving her Son today and the celebration of his birth on Thursday. And lastly, Mary wants us to relive her mystery in the continual cooperation God wants from us, allowing God's life to grow within us and change our own life. As any parent knows, the conception and birth of a child transforms the parents' lives. It changes their sleeping patterns, changes their eating patterns. If they were smoking, it helps them to quit that habit, changes their spending patterns, changes almost everything in their life. And the celebration of the birth of Jesus is meant to alter our lives in the same dramatic way. 6 years ago, the greatest Catholic preacher alive, Father Raniero Cantalamessa, who since the late 70s has been the preacher to the papal household, gave some beautiful Advent reflections on how each of us is called to imitate Mary precisely as the mother of Jesus. That all of us are supposed to imitate Mary's motherhood. And he said that there are two essential acts of motherhood that we're called to emulate. Mary was told by the Archangel Gabriel that she was to conceive in her womb and bear a son. And he said, we too are called to conceive and give birth to Jesus. How? He began answering that question by taking us to the part in the gospel when Jesus was preaching in a crowded house, and they told him that his mother and his relatives were outside wishing to see him. Jesus replied by saying, my mother and my brothers and my sisters are those who hear the word of God and put it into practice. In this, we become mother to Jesus by a twofold action. We become mother to the Lord by conceiving, or what he will call hearing the word, and bearing, or putting it into practice. There are many people, he said, who are guilty of a sort of spiritual abortion or miscarriage because they hear the word of God, they conceive the word of God, but then it gets killed inside of them, either deliberately or when it dies for other causes, distractions, etc. The power of the Most High, the Holy Spirit, overshadows us so that the word that has been planted may bear fruit, may come to light. But we have to imitate Mary in treasuring that word of God within, just like she did. But it's not enough just for us to treasure it. It's got to transform us in such a way, take on our own flesh, grow within us in such a way that we can't keep that word within any longer. But just like a woman in the 10th month of pregnancy, she's got to give birth eventually. That's what he's describing. We need to give birth to that word of God by acting on it, by living with Jesus in our moral choice and actions, by giving him and our faith to others. Father Cantalamessa says, however, that actions alone aren't enough. They need to be actions in response to the conception of the word. Actions done in union with God. He said there are some insufficient forms of motherhood today, which a mother gives birth without first conceiving the child. When the child, for example, is conceived in a test tube through in vitro fertilization. To all external appearances, Father Cantalamessa said, this person seems to be a mother just like any other, but not in the total sense God intended, which involves conception through the natural act with a husband, then pregnancy, then birth. There are many today, Father Cantalamessa says, who focus on action, even good action, but who don't first conceive. Their actions are not the fruit of a cooperation between a human being and God, but only of the technique of a human being. Their actions are made, not begotten. There's not a hearing first. There's not prayer. Father Cantalamessa says, to imitate Mary's motherhood, we need both conception and birth. And our vocation, like hers, involves both. When Pope Benedict wrote his beautiful reflection on the Word of God and the life and the mission of the Church, he came to the same image. It's an image given to us by St. Ambrose over 1600 years ago. It's one of my favorite passages in any papal document. Pope Benedict wrote that Mary is the image of the Church in attentive hearing of the Word of God, hearing so profoundly that the Word takes flesh in her. It's an active listening that interiorizes and assimilates, one in which the Word becomes a way of life. As we contemplate in the Mother of God a life totally shaped by the Word, we realize that we too are called to enter into the mystery of faith, whereby Christ comes to dwell in our life. Every Christian believer, St. Ambrose reminds us, in some way, interiorly conceives and gives birth to the Word of God. Even though there is only one Mother of Christ in the flesh, in the faith, Christ is the progeny, the child of us all. Thus, what took place for Mary can daily take place in each of us, in the hearing of the Word, and in the celebration of the sacraments. Listen to that last line again. What took place for Mary can daily take place in each of us, in the hearing of the Word, and in the celebration of the sacraments. Throughout the Christmas season, we sing so many hymns, as we should, to the Blessed Virgin Mary's cooperation. But what Pope Benedict is reminding us all is that the same mystery happens in us, or at least it's supposed to, if only we open ourselves up to it, like the Blessed Virgin Mary does, and like she wants to teach us to do as well. This process happens by the power of the Holy Spirit, who seeks to overshadow us like he did Mary. Our response is likewise supposed to imitate hers. She said, "I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word." That's what this week is meant to help us to do, so that we might say, "I too am the Lord's servant, and let my whole life develop as a commentary on your word, O Lord." Pope Francis focused on this total response of Mary to conceiving and giving birth to the Word of God in his Angelus meditation this morning to a packed St. Peter's Square. Whenever you go to see the Holy Father in Rome and you're with him on a Sunday, he always prays the Angelus with the entire people of God, which is one of the reasons why all of us need to know how to pray the Angelus. We wouldn't be able to pray with the Holy Father unless we know that prayer by heart. He always wants to lead us in pondering the mystery of today's gospel every single Sunday. What did Pope Francis say this morning? He said, "Today, the fourth and the last Sunday of Advent, we fix our glance on the simple girl of Nazareth. At that moment in which she makes herself totally available to the divine message with her yes, and we capture the essential aspects of her attitude that are for us a model of how to prepare for Christmas. Above all, we ponder Mary's attitude of faith, which consists in hearing the Word of God through abandoning herself to that Word with full availability of mind and heart. Responding to the angel, Mary says, 'Behold the servant of the Lord, let it happen to me according to your word.' In her, 'Behold the servant,' full of faith, Mary doesn't know by which road she'll have to travel, what sorrow she'll have to suffer, what risks she'll need to confront, but she is aware that it is the Lord who is asking her to entrust herself totally to him. It's the Lord asking her to abandon herself totally to his love. And this is the faith of Mary." And Pope Francis wants that to be our faith too. To relive Mary's mystery in Christ is to live by faith in the same way Mary did. To abandon ourselves to God's love, to entrust ourselves to his plans. This is the way Catholics are supposed to prepare for Christmas. We turn to Mary today with the words of the Archangel, with the words of St. Elizabeth, with the words of the Church throughout the centuries, and ask her to pray for us So that over the course of these 5 days and then throughout the 12 days of Christmas and beyond, we may learn how to relive her mystery as a temple of God's presence, cleansed and holy, prayerful, full of wonder, and cooperative totally to His plans, so that we, like her, may be true servants of the Lord, whose whole lives develop according to God's word and will. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, whom we're preparing to receive today, and whose birth we're preparing to celebrate this week. Praise be Jesus Christ and His Holy Mother.